Please turn to hymn 554, and we will join in singing the first stanza, 554. Today is November 1st, and in the church calendar, it's observed as a festival that we call All Saints' Day. It's a day on which we are reminded to give thanks to God for all of those who have lived in His Word and died in the comfort of His holy wounds. One of the great hymns that we sing frequently on this day or on the Sunday closest to November 1st is the hymn that we just sang the first verse of. And it's an interesting hymn, and we're going to explore it from a couple of different angles today. First of all, the poetry was written by an English pastor and bishop. His name was William Walsham Hall. And he actually, you can find his name on page 913 in the back of your hymnary. And I'd like you to look at that because your assignment for the day is to check him out on Wikipedia. Because his life story is very, very interesting. He was, of course, a poet. He lived in an interesting time in the history of the Church of England. The middle of the 1800s, the 19th century, was a time of great upheaval. First of all, it was a time of reawakening in the church. More and more of the pastors and bishops realized that the divine service really needed to be at the heart and center of everything that the Christian life was about. And as a result, the liturgy and the observance of the liturgy became much, much, much richer in England. And many of the rituals that they introduced actually found their way into lots and lots of other churches as well. You can read about that. It's called the Oxford Movement. It's also called the Cambridge-Camden Movement. And Howe was a part of that. Now, sometimes we look at those people and accuse them of empty ritualism, but that certainly is not fair in his case. He was a very, very energetic pastor. In fact, if you look at his picture online, he looks like somebody who should have been a star of a Western movie in the 1960s. Very stalwart and sturdy, and beloved by his people and beloved by the church. Not only was he interested in the liturgy, but he was always also interested in care of the poor. You remember this is about the same time that Dickens was writing some of his novels. Christmas Carol especially takes us into the home of the very poor in the city and allows us to have a sympathy for them. And the Church of England did not turn their back on those poor, and especially in a character like Howe, he reached out to them. In the rural areas where he served, he made sure that the rural poor had places where they could go for food and clothing and shelter. And of course, along with that was always a very, very important aspect of his work, namely to preach to them the gospel. So it wasn't just a social ministry, but it was evangelism as well. He was appointed Bishop of London's East End. And if you've ever watched anything on BBC that takes place in the East End of London, you know it's a horrible place, and it was an especially horrible place in the 19th century. There is a BBC series, I forget what it's called, but it has to do with midwifery. I don't know if any of you have seen that one, where there's an order of Protestant nuns, and they reach out to help women in the neighborhood. It's kind of a difficult show to watch. I made it through half of an episode. But that story is based on a deaconess center that was established by Howe, the poet who wrote this hymn for us today. I'd like you, first of all, to look at this side of the handout that I have given to you. This is Howe's original text for this hymn, and there are some very interesting things. When this hymn was published in English hymn books, the revisions that we most normally sing it with were changed at that time. Verses were omitted and things like that. Howe was never happy about that. But he went along with it because he was obviously a good egg. Then if you will turn it over, this is an exercise in how tunes can make such a difference with how we understand a text. This particular tune is listed as Hymn 126, written by Joseph Barnby, and this would have been the tune that was most widely used with this hymn when it was first published. And I'd like for us to sing the first two verses according to this tune, which is the tune that Howe would have known.
Thank you.
notice the direction of the poem, it is primarily directed to Christ. While it does not sing to us a lot about what Christ has done for us as his saints, it clearly gives to him the glory for the preservation of his church. And now I would like us to go back to hymn number 126 on the handout. And what we're going to do there is we are going to sing verses 3, 4, and 5 to the original tune. Verses 3, 4, and 5 to the original tune.
Thank you.
from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. To him be glory now and forever. Amen. Depart in his peace.